We are starting a new chapter, Book of Luke, chapter 8, and we are going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God.
Now here we read, Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he says he went preaching every village, every city, and telling the people about the kingdom of God. And the word of God says all these 12 apostles were with him. So this was their training period, going village to village, going city to city. And that's what we want to do. If Jesus Christ went to every city and every village, we should be doing the same. Because God has called us to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here we see the verse 2 and 3, if you read, there were certain ladies serving the Lord with their finances. Please read.
And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance.
See, ministered unto him of their substance. Substance can be food, substance can be money, can be clothes, or anything. And who are these ladies? One, he says, the lady had the seven demons. She also, I don't know, she might be rich, or she had some money, or she was working, we don't know, but she was also helping Jesus with the finances. When God has done something good to us, we are not going to forget. Now, there is another person's name is given. That lady is one of the wives of the Herods. In Herod is a king, and this man was working in his kingdom somewhere, and his wife also was helping with the finances. So many people, when they get saved, healed, delivered, and set free, they are thankful to God and helping the ministry with the finances. Now, when you have a job and you give up the job and follow the Lord, where the money is coming? Peter, Andrews, James, and John, they were a businessman. They had a fishing business, and we just learned they give up all the fishing business and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine 12 disciples plus Jesus, 13 people to take care of their food, their clothes, and their traveling? All of these things cost money. Thank God, these ladies had some kind of desire to help Jesus and his disciples with the finances. We will be reading later on, maybe in Luke chapter 10, there were 70 more disciples were chosen. So can you imagine all of these people's finances to take care? And these are the ladies, there are a few ladies' name given, but there might be hundreds of them helping the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. Without the finances, without the help of the children of God, the ministry cannot go on. Verse 4.
And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable.
Now this parable is given in Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Let's read the verse 5.
A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now this parable sounds to be very simple, but when he gave the parable, And the word of God says he cried and he said, who has the ears, let them hear. Now many people are thinking, many people has ears and people hear. But the hearing means what? Obeying. When you listen to something and if you do not obey, that means you didn't hear it. Disciples still didn't understand. Let's read the verse 9.
And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.
Disciples, they are asking, what is the meaning of these parables? And Jesus Christ is saying, I'm talking to these people. These people's mind is dull. They're not going to understand, but I'm giving the parable to them, but the mystery of the kingdom of God is given unto you. If you read in the book of Isaiah, that's what Jesus Christ is quoting from. Isaiah chapter 6, let's read 2 verses 9 and 10.
And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed.
See, Isaiah was a prophet, and he wanted to go and preach, but he says, you go and preach. But the people are not going to hear. Their heart is heavy, their ears are heavy, and they are not going to understand. Why? Because they were stubborn people, do not want to listen to the word of God. The word of God says, God talked to people of God from different ways, and the prophets, and various ways. But in last days, he says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, he talked to us through his son. But still, Jesus Christ is himself giving the parables. Disciples didn't understand. They start asking, could you tell us what this is? He says, it is given unto you the mystery of the kingdom of God. Go to the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 26. Up to now, the mystery of the kingdom of God was hidden. Jesus Christ is the only one came to reveal what the God is and what the heaven is. But still people didn't understand while he was preaching. He said to his disciples, in John chapter 14, 15 and 16, he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will guide you, teach you. And whatever I taught you, it will come to your memory. Paul is saying, this mystery was hidden for ages. Please read.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
To whom the mystery is given? To his saints. Jesus says, this is given to you because this disciple followed Christ. So he says, this mystery was hidden from generation. What is the mystery? If somebody says, what is the mystery? Mystery is Jesus Christ. People didn't know who Jesus is. Even though he says, I'm a son of God, they didn't want to know. And through Jesus Christ, the salvation is given. So once you know who Jesus is, all the mystery will be revealed to you. Jesus Christ is the hidden mystery in the Word of God. And so once we know Jesus, our mind is completely opened. Jesus Christ becomes the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the power of God to us. And so once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our minds, our spirits opens, and our understanding opens, and then we can understand much more. If somebody is not born again, this Bible is like a closed book. They open the Bible, read, maybe lawyers, maybe doctors, and highly educated people, but they do not understand because this sounds like a black and white pages. But once the person receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, what happens? The Bible becomes open. We understand better. So the born-again people understand the Bible much more better than the worldly people. Worldly people can read the Bible, but they don't understand. Let's read the verse 11.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Now Jesus Christ says, okay, I'm going to let you understand the parables. And he starts explaining the parables. The first he says, now the parable is this. What is this? The seed is the word of God. Now, God is the source. Seed is Jesus Christ. So he says, the seed is the word of God. And if you read the St. John chapter 1, verse 1, what he says? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So, the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is the word of God. God speaks to the mankind. He speaks through Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ is the word of God. And the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 13, if you read, it says, Jesus Christ's name is the word of God. So the Jesus Christ is the word of God. And so what Jesus Christ himself is saying, the seed is the word of God. So you say, seed is the word, or the word is Christ. And so when we receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the time we get saved. Though we have to receive the word. Read the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says that the word we have to receive, and that word gives us born-again experience, or we can be born by the word of God.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Now see, he says, not with the corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. So when you say seed is the word of God, Jesus Christ is the seed of God and the word of God. And the word of God says, we are corruptible. When we die, our body decays. But once we receive the seed or the word of God, it transforms our spirit as well as our body. Because we are born again, when we die, even though our body decays, Jesus Christ comes, resurrects this body, and this body takes a new form, and then we go to heaven. So here the word of God is saying, how we get saved? Listen to the word of God and receive the word of God. And when you receive the word of God and believe the word of God, then we get born again. And so the word of God is Jesus Christ. Receiving the word means receiving Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are born again. So here Jesus Christ is saying the seed is the word of God. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 12.
Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Now here is saying, the seed is fallen the wayside. I mean the pathway. So seed is fallen by the pathway. So he says, the devil comes and takes the seed away. Why the devil is taking the seed away? Because he said, the people should not believe in Jesus Christ, and those people should not be saved. 13:19, Matthew.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
Now see what he's saying. The word of God is sown. He says, when the word comes to you, and if you do not understand, then the devil comes to take it away. What does it mean? When somebody hears the word, you have to have a desire to understand what the word is saying. And when you read the Bible and some words pops up and tells you something, but if the person doesn't want to hear that word, they will say, oh no, not this chapter or not this word. Even the word of God wants to give you a message or change you or try to inspire you or something. You have to understand what the word of God is saying. So that's what the word of God is saying. When the word was given to these people, they did not understand. That's why the devil confuses. When some words comes to you, he will confuse you and he will not allow you to understand, and that words will be taken away. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, please.
The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
See, here is saying, as soon as the word is sown in your heart, Satan comes, how? Immediately. He doesn't give you chance to understand. That's what the Matthew was saying. When you don't understand, the devil comes and takes the word. Mark says, devil comes immediately and steals the words from your heart. And go back to the Luke. And the Luke says, devil comes and taketh the word away out of your heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So the point is, devil doesn't want us to understand the word. Devil doesn't want you to get saved. Once you start meditating on those words, God will speak to you. The word has power. The word has life. And once you read the word, study the word, meditate on the word of God, your life is going to change, because word has power. The word of God says the word of God is like a double, two-edged sword. And so the word of God has power to change. So he says, when the word of God comes to you, you try to understand, you try to listen to the word of God, try to keep it in your heart, and then it will work for you. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8, and start reading from verse 13.
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away.
Some seed fell on the rock, rocky ground. Now, this rock is not presenting Christ, because there is a scripture, rock present the Christ. But this rock means just like a stony ground. If the seed falls, they don't have enough soil, they don't have enough moisture. So the seed comes very fast and grows fast, and the people get excited. She said, those are the people, they receive the word with joy, and they don't have much root to go this seed down, and they believe, and the time of temptation or time of trial comes, they fall away. What does it mean? People, when they get saved, sometimes in a convention, sometimes on a TV, and sometimes people are singing and joyful, and they give their heart to the Lord, and they get excited, and they said, oh, I'm born again, I'm saved, and they tell everybody. And within a week, or maybe within a day or two, they just backslidden or do not want to hear the word. He says, why this happened? He says, because the enemy comes and sees there is no more root. This person heard the word but didn't know what to do with it. And that's why the devil comes, confuses you, gives you some kind of trials and troubles, and then you said, well, I don't want to know more about God. I don't want to go to church because it's too hard. I cannot live that kind of life, and it's so difficult, and I don't want to follow the Christ. So point I'm making, if you are a born-again child of God, the day you are got saved, the devil will come to tempt you. Devil will come to pull you down. Devil will not let you understand the word of God. You might fall. So what do? Get up and walk again. The boxer goes to the ring, and the first time he is knocked down, and if he says, that's enough for me, he's not going to be winner. He has to get up and fight again. So the Christian life is not a life of defeat. The devil will come to destroy you. Now this seed is on the soil, but still the devil did not allow that seed to bring fruit. And that's what happened. The Christian life is a life of bearing fruits. Okay, let's read the verse 14.
And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
Now here is another seed fallen in the thorny ground. Now some of the thorny bushes like maybe 3 feet, 4 feet high. So the seed try to come up to the level of the thorny bush. But that bush did not allow that seed to go further. So the Jesus Christ is saying, do you know what kind of seed is this? Or what kind of plant is this? When you sow it, they grow and they are excited. But at the same time, he said that growth is choked. Why? Because he says the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. When the people getting born again and saved, several things happens. Cares of this world means we worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen? Jesus Christ says, don't worry for tomorrow. God will give us grace to take care of tomorrow. So we should not be worrying. If you have time, go to the book of Matthew and start reading chapter 6, verses 25 to maybe 34. And in that scripture, we'll say everything about not to worry about food, about clothing, about anything. So here he's saying the people who get saved, they are not trusting in the Lord. We are born again people. We don't worry about what the news says. Now he says the economy is bad. People are losing jobs. People are not having jobs. We are born again Christians. What are we supposed to say? God can create a job for me. There is no lack of job. God is my source. I'm not going to worry about looking at these problems. Last Sunday when the lady came and she said, I got a job. Now how she got a job and some people are laid off? Because she came and she said, Pastor Peter, please pray for me. I should have a job. And not only that, when she got a job and she wrote a check to the church. So she is thankful to God that in this kind of time, God gave me a job. So the Word of God is saying, when you get saved, concentrate on the Word of God. Concentrate on Jesus Christ. Trials will come. Tribulation will come. Problem will come. For what? To pull you down. But if you are in the sight of God, what the Word of God says? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be always with you. And that's the promise we have. So here he's saying the cares of this world, the riches of this world, and the pleasures of this life will not allow you to be fruitful. So we are not going to allow the world and the flesh. The fleshly desire is what? To please yourself. What they will say, whatever feels good, do it. We are not going to do according to our feelings. What we have to do, what we're doing, is it pleasing in the sight of God? Is God approving what I'm doing? If I'm doing something and God is not approving this, and if God hates this thing what I'm doing, then I'm going to cry to God and say, Lord, help me. I want your help. Other day I was watching a program, Christian program, and there was a lady, young lady, started doing drugs, started doing alcohol, started doing selling drugs, started doing a prostitute, went to the jail so many times, and finally she got so confused and frustrated, and she was sitting on the street and start thinking, what is my life? And then she looked at to heaven and said, Lord, help me. I need your help. And all of a sudden she said she felt the love of God pouring on her. And she was completely set free. But whatever she did, she was going to go to jail. And so there was a court case. And she stood there. And the judge was asking her, did you do this? Did you do this? She said, everything, I did it. I'm guilty. But I found Jesus. And he changed my life. I'm ready to go to jail. I'm ready to do serve. But the lady looked at her, the judge. She said, I'll let you go. And the lady, today she's serving the Lord and doing so many good things. The point I'm making, this is not a one lady. hundreds and thousands of people when they are bound with alcohol, they are bound with a cigarette, they are bound with the drugs, they are bound with all kinds of things. And this is the devil's tools to destroy you. But when you call upon Jesus, say, Lord, I need your help, he will help you. One man, middle of the night, he calls me 2 o'clock. He says, Pastor Peter, I don't know you. My grandmother gave me your telephone number. I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, tonight, I'm going to kill myself. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm living in the basement. I have a girlfriend. She goes to work. She brings the money. I smoke. I drink. I do drugs. And I'm coming in a good family. I don't want to show my face to anybody. So I'm always hiding myself in the basement. But tonight, I decided to end my life. So my grandmother says, before you do anything, give call to Pastor Peter. So he said, what is your message for me? I said, sir, any fool can die. Dying is very easy. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will rescue you. He will give you new life. And all the drugs and alcohol and everything will go away. Just believe. And he prayed with me sinner's prayer. And I prayed for him. Next day, he goes to look for a job. He got a job. He got saved. He got baptized. He got three-piece suit. He got married the same lady. And he comes to the house of grandmother, knocking at her door, and she opens the door, and he said, Grandma, you must be born again. She was Methodist. Grandmother right away called me, said, Pastor Peter, what did you do to my grandson? I said, what did I do? I just gave him the word of God. She said, he is here standing with me, knocking at my door and saying, Grandma, you should be born again. I said, he's right. You should be born again. So what I'm trying to say, the word of God has power. The word of God is saying the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. That is in John chapter 10, verse 10. So here we read, the thorny ground chokes the growth of the plant. And so that thorny ground, he says, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life choke the growth. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 15.
But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
If the seed is sown in a good ground, what these people are doing, they are honest, means they are listening to the word of God. And when they hear the word of God, they keep the word of God in their heart. See here, say they keep it. And so you are not listening and keeping the word or storing the word in your heart. He says they listen to the word and they keep it. When you keep the word in your heart, it will protect you from committing sin. Read the Psalm 119 and verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee.
See, the word of God, when you read, you study the word of God, and what you do? Keep that word in your heart. If you have the word of God in your heart, then you cannot sin against God. Why you have to keep the word in your heart, do you know? If you keep the money in a bank, why are you keeping money in the bank? When you have need, you take it away, right? The same way you store the word in your heart, when the time of need comes, you can use that word to fight with the enemy. You know, Jesus Christ, when the enemy came to test him, what did he say? It is written. And so when you store the word of God in your heart, you can tell the devil, I have kept the word in my heart. You have no power over me because I'm a child of God. I'm living for Christ. Devil has no power over us when we keep the word of God. When you keep the word of God in your heart, those people can bring forth fruit with patience. So the farmer has the patience. Farmer doesn't sow the seed and within the next day comes and say, why it didn't come? Let me dig and find out why the root is not coming. You have to wait patiently. He says, the farmer waits for first rain and the latter rain. And so patiently you wait, then you get the fruit. You cannot get panic. Somebody says, I went to church, I gave my tithe, I gave my offering, and I'm not getting any hundredfold return. It doesn't work that way. You don't give something to get something back. You give it to the Lord because you love the Lord. And then God sees your heart, and then he gives a growth. The book of Hebrews and chapter 10 and verse 36 to 39. It says, we should be patiently waiting.
For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
When you get the promise, when you do the will of God, keep on studying the word, keep on reading the word, keep on giving the tithes, keep on going to church, and do not forget to do the good things. And then the word of God says, the promise will come. Verse 37.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go, I'll prepare a place, and I'll come back again. Many people say 2,000 years passed, he's not coming, let's do whatever we want to do. He says, a little while. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're waiting for him, you will not say, he's not going to come. He will come, and he will not tarry. Read a little bit further.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
See, the just shall live by faith. Just means what? A righteous man. We are the righteous people. How we became righteous? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood and forgive all our sins. We were not worthy to go to heaven. He died for us, washed us with his precious blood. Now we belong to Jesus Christ. So the word of God says we are a believers. When we are born again people, we have faith in God. We have faith of God. We are called by Jesus Christ. We are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Once we have faith in God, whatever the problem comes, we can handle it. We can handle all the problems by faith. That's why he said, just shall live by faith. Verse 39.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
See, he said, we are not the people like the world. They're going to go to hell. We are looking at Jesus. We are following Christ. We are not going to backslidden. We are not going to go to hell. We are going to let our soul be saved. Jesus Christ is the Savior. How did he save us? He bought us with his blood. We are so precious in the eyes of God. So we cannot just walk away from God or trample on the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved by faith. We are going to keep our faith, and then we are not going to perish. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 16.
No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light.
We are the children of God. We have the light of God. And if you are a born-again child of God, what are you going to do? You're going to shine. That's what he's trying to say. They had the candlesticks, and so that they will put it on the candle holder and put it on the table or somewhere, the high ground, so they can see it. He said, you cannot take the candlestick and put it under the bed or hide it somewhere. And if you do that, what will happen? That candle will not give the light. So he is saying, we are the light of the world. And we are supposed to shine and let the whole world know that we are called by God. If you read in Matthew chapter 5, he says, we are the light of the world. Please read. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
See, here he's saying, you are the light of the world. And he says, if you are a light of the world, you're supposed to glorify God. And let the whole world know what God has done for you. If you are born again, you should say, I was a sinner. I was a bad person. Jesus saved me. It's a testimony. Whatever God has done for you, you're supposed to tell others and let the whole world know. That's why he's saying your light should be shining and the whole world should be seeing. We were sinners. We were living in the darkness. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the darkness. Go to the Colossians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 12. You can read 12 to 14. We should read 12 to 16, but read.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Okay, so we are created for him. We are not ours. We are belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 and 20 says, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and we are not our own. So we are belong to Christ. So we should be glorifying God. We were in the darkness and he has redeemed us from the darkness. Let's read the verse 12. We didn't read from 12, we read in 14. Read the verse 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
We were in the dark, he had chosen us from the darkness, and he put it in the light to be partakers of the saints of God. Read the verse 13.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Taken us out of the darkness, and now he set us in the kingdom of God. So we were in the dark, we were in the darkness, we were doing the works of the darkness, but now we are the children of God. So we should be reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. The word of God says we are called a special people. We are chosen generation. We are God's people. What we supposed to do? Let the whole world know what God has done for us. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
This verse is given for the Old Testament people. But now the word of God says, now we are a chosen generation. We are God's people. And he has chosen us from the darkness. He has pulled us out of the darkness. And we are in Christ Jesus. So what we are supposed to do, we should praise God and let the whole world know that we were sinners. Now we are born again children of God and we are living for Christ. And so he said, each and every born again person should have the witness of Jesus Christ. The light of God or light of Jesus Christ should be shining through us. And then somebody says, where we should go and where the people are going to see the light? The people who are living in darkness. When the word of God says, the people were living in the darkness and they were living in the shadow of death. Jesus Christ came and redeemed those people. Now we are the light of the world. So where we should go? Where the people are really sinners and living in a bad area or sinful life they're doing, we should be shining there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16 says,
do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
See, here he's saying, whatever you do, Do not do anything murmuring. That means there are some people sending the evangelist, sending the some people to go and work in a neighborhood, and they may not want to go, but pastor tells them to go, that's why they're going. He said, each and every believer has to have a desire to win souls, not by force. Go and tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done. He says, we are living in a crooked and perverse generation. All around us, people are sinners. We have to tell these people, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives. Everyone should know what God has done for us. We are not telling. That's why we are not shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 16.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Telling other people what the word of God is saying. Telling the people what Jesus Christ is saying. So we should not be embarrassed, or we should not be losing our rewards. God has called us with a definite high calling. And once we do it, the word of God says, you will receive your reward. God has given us chances. Go and tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done. Let's go back to the book of Luke. Now, time is not permitting, but I'm going to finish this. We are in 17. Are we going to finish 17? Because 18 verse will take more time to explain. Let's read verse 17.
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad.
Nothing is secret. Now somebody say, why this scripture is here? God is saying, when you are born again, child of God, what are you doing? Are you doing some secret sins? Are you doing something that pastor should not know, husband should not know, wife should not know, your boss should not know, and you doing something secretly? And sometimes people say, you know, they lie. Why they lie, do you know? They lie to protect themselves. And so they say, if I say lie, nobody will notice. But do you know, when you say lie, you are in more trouble than telling the truth? Because he says, there is nothing hidden, everything is open. You cannot hide anything, there is nothing secret. You can keep secret for a while, but it will come to surface later on. And so if somebody lies for something, he has to remember what he lied for. Otherwise, somebody asks him another question, he gets something else. And then somebody asks again 3-4 days again, then he doesn't remember what he said to another person. And he kept on lying. And then when somebody keeps the note, he said, you lied several times. You're not telling the truth. You said the truth or told the truth first time. Somebody can ask you 7 times, your answer will be the same. Then person knows that you're telling the truth. Now somebody says, you know what? This is so secret, and you are my best friend, so I'm going to tell you and whisper in that person's ear. Now you thought, nobody noticed. Only my best friend I told. That best friend has another best friend. He said, you know, this is secret. I'm not going to tell everybody, but this is from my heart. Could you keep secret? Yes, I will. So now went to the 2 people. That person has another secret friend. That person says, you know, this is so secret, I'm going to tell you, don't tell anybody. That secret is no secret anymore. That's what he's saying. There is nothing secret. You cannot hide anything from the Lord. If you're doing anything secretly, God knows everything. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13. He says, there is nothing hidden.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
See, that means you have to deal with God. God is the one who notices everything. So if you are not doing anything right, secretly you're doing something, and you are not telling anybody, he says, there is no secret. I know everything. I am watching over you. And every bad things you do or every good things you do is recorded. And the people will say, all the bad things I did, one day there will be judgment, and I have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and when God starts judging me, I will never be make it to heaven. And the word of God says, our sins are forgiven and forgotten. Then how am I going to stand at the judgment? Only thing, if you keep it secret and don't ask God to forgive you, you will lose it. But if you say to the Lord, Lord, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Then the word of God says, your sins will be forgiven and forgotten. Not only that, John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, you are passed from death unto life and no condemnation. When? When you confess your sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't read the Bible today. I didn't pray today. I didn't go to church today. I did something secret I didn't tell my wife. Or I did something wrong in my job and I didn't tell my boss. And so, Lord, you have seen everything. Everything is naked into your eyes. Could you please forgive me? Could you please wash me? He will do it. Go ahead.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
When you believe Jesus Christ, and you confess like a 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive all your sins because he is a righteous God. And so, when you confess your sins, you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, now your sins are forgiven, you are passed from death unto life, and no condemnation. So we have a confidence towards God. We can stand at the right hand of God or stand in front of God and say, Lord, I was a sinner. I asked forgiveness for my sins. Now my sins are forgiven and I'm washed and I'm cleansed and I'm ready to come home. Because our heart will not condemn us once we confess our sins. Shall we rise? Get the seed of the Lord. Get the word of God. Hide it in your heart. And let not devil take the seed out of you. And let us shine for the glory of God and bring the fruit hundredfold for the glory of God. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. We are your children. We are born again children of God. Devil tried to destroy us many, many times. And we are going to look into Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we are going to run our race looking at Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood. Give us grace again so we can start it all over again. And Lord, we are going to finish the race. You are going to come soon. Your word says, it's very little while, and you will come. You will not change your word, and you are going to come to rescue us from this crooked generation. Lord Jesus, please give us grace to keep our head high. Let our life shine. Let the whole world know that we are called by Jesus Christ. We are belong to you. No harm, no danger could come to our dwelling. Because we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, give us grace to love you and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.